Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got a lot to get to this hour. We'll get you through the reopening. It's happening in a lot of states are reopened. Connecticut is in phase one of reopening. Westchester starts reopening today. Long Island starts tomorrow. The city will come a couple weeks later. Joe Bartlett is in South Carolina, where they've been open for, what'd you say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
At least 4 weeks, yeah.
And everybody's fine?
Well, yeah. Hey, the tourist season is in full swing. I see a lot of out-of-state plates coming here.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah, now the problem is New York is heavily dependent on tourists, and our tourists come usually on airplanes. Your tourists, probably more of them come in cars, so people are feeling safe driving somewhere. In fact, I know a lot of people who normally would fly on a vacation are all now picking places they can drive to. They don't want to get on a plane, and who can blame them? When you keep hearing that Broadway is going to be the last thing to reopen, that they're not even thinking of opening before January, one of the reasons is they're pretty much all tourists in the audience for Broadway. It's people from out of town and people from the suburbs. When you look at the metrics of these Broadway shows, like 90% of the audience came from more than 35 miles away. So that's the problem. And something like 75% come from way out of state. So it's going to be a while before that comes back. That'll hurt. That means we have no Broadway. You have no Times Square activity. And remember, there's a ton of restaurants around all those Broadway theaters that are just wiped out by this because nobody lives around there. So all their business comes from the Broadway shows. Now, you may have noticed a lot of restaurants that decided not to do takeout throughout the crisis. They just weren't interested. They weren't doing takeout or delivery. All of a sudden, they're doing it now. You know, whether it's like today, Fresco is doing takeout in Manhattan, Avra, Tutto Pazzo in Long Island, and all these, the Rye Bar and Grill is suddenly, the reason they're suddenly doing this when they didn't want to before, I've talked to all these restaurant owners, they're getting ready for reopening. That's why they're doing it. It's not that they want to do this takeout or delivery, but they got to get the kitchen working again. They got to get the staff back, and they got to get the suppliers all back. And, you know, they have a supply chain in every restaurant. They got to get it working for a couple of weeks so they can reopen. So they're all ready to, they're getting ready to reopen in a couple of weeks. Now, just once again, Joe Bartlett, you've been to restaurants multiple times down there, touching the glasses and the silverware and.
You'll notice
he's not coughing.
I feel just fine.
Feels just fine. So okay. if you check out
it works. It works.
Yeah,
don't be afraid.
All right, all right. Check out my Instagram. I was in Connecticut on the weekend, and they opened Friday night. I saw all the outdoor places were packed. Now it's the places with the outdoor tables. But take a look at the pictures on Instagram. They're packed. Every seat, every table is full. Take a look at the Saturday or the Sunday pictures on Instagram. There's outdoor cafes. Not only are they packed, but there's a lot of people milling around. And they all got glasses and forks and knives and silverware. They're touching menus. They were using real menus. So, wait, you're laughing at us.
No. But they don't use real menus, do they? Because you're supposed to use a one-time menu.
Well, I zoomed in on a couple of those pictures. They look like real menus there.
Okay.
Listen, it's going to be fine. If you were up in, for instance, Greenwich Avenue, you got all these big department stores. You got Richards, you got Saks. They were open. Plenty of people inside walking around. They're all wearing masks. Joe Bartlett, what color mask do you wear?
I've got a number of them. It depends on which one's available. So, you know, you use them, then you got to get them washed. So,
well, I like that blue surgical.
You have a blue surgical one?
Yeah, I like that one. It just looks all right.
Yeah, you look like a doctor.
I just think it's like light. It's blue. It's light blue. It's friendly look. I see all these people with these black masks. They look terrible. You look like either Zorro or a bank robber with that black mask. You look like you're busting in, tunneling into a bank. That black mask looks ridiculous. And did you see Joe Biden yesterday?
Yeah.
We don't need to ask anymore. How come President Trump doesn't wear a mask? Take a look at the Joe Biden pictures. That's how come. Did you ever see a guy look more ridiculous than Biden with the black glasses and the black mask holding the lilies? Remember Frank Sinatra used to say, if you're going to look dead, dress dead.
he looked dead, that's for sure.
He looked like it was dress rehearsal for the funeral. He looked ridiculous. just idiotic. And what a bad Friday for Biden. And it was going into the Memorial Day weekend. Hey, you notice Biden had that terrible exchange. Now, Charlemagne is our coworker down the hall on Power 105. It's the one of the biggest, most listened to radio stations on earth. They got millions of listeners. But also, he does the Breakfast Club, does a video that's on live on YouTube. And that thing gets millions and millions and millions of views. So if you're on with the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne, you're reaching more people than Colbert, Kimmel, and Fallon combined. You're reaching more people than every Sunday show combined. So I don't think he realized who he was talking to. I think his campaign, just they didn't brief him or they didn't understand. I think they just thought they were talking to some local disc jockey. And Charlamagne is a beloved figure. So Biden is talking to him like he's a, like he's some idiotic disc jockey in Toledo. And then just, well, here, take a listen.
There are multiple black women being considered. Multiple.
Well, you know, thank you so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media. You
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Actually, that's the part. I found it. He made this stupid gaffe, and the campaign told him, they're yelling at him, get off the air, get off the air. So he cut off the... He's on the most important show you could be on right now for him, and he cuts it off. I got to go. My wife needs to use the phone. You got to admit that's a pretty stupid excuse.
That was that pretty lame, but he can't think on his feet. We know that.
No, so here's listen to how he's talking to Charlemagne. This is just ridiculous.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Yeah. This is Archie Bunker here. You ain't black. What, he never says the word ain't. Why is he using the word ain't with Charlemagne? What's that all about?
So, we know what that's about.
The reason he got heated, he just assumed that you're black. You got to vote for him. It's he doesn't have to do anything to earn your vote. That's the problem with these Democrats. They think it's just automatically their vote. So all they do, give you a few slogans, election year, and that's it. But he started getting into something with Charlemagne about the crime bill and the old crime bill. And Charlemagne knew his stuff. Biden was trying to claim one thing, and Charlemagne knew the real facts and figures and all of this. And and that's when Biden started being disrespectful. And he goes, well, I got some more questions for you. And then he did that. I mean, this is one of the dumbest things ever.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Well, that was dumb.
Now, to top that off, then he shows up Memorial Day wearing all black, a black tie, a black suit, a black mask, dark black glasses, and carrying lilies. What the hell was that all about? What does he think? What kind of campaign is this? Don't they look at him as he's leaving the house and say, whoa, put on a red tie. Why don't you wear a blue suit, white shirt, red tie? This whole black thing looks like Tommy Lee Jones in some bad movie. So, now what does this do to his vice presidential pick? Oh, that's the other thing Charlemagne got into with him, that he's got to pick a woman, and Charlemagne wanted him to pick a black woman. There's Stacey Abrams, who looks like a nice woman, but she's got no resume at all, no qualifications whatsoever. The one that looks good is Val Demings, who's a Florida, she's been in Congress, and she was a police commissioner, much smarter than Stacey Abrams, got a pretty interesting resume. They were looking at this Michigan governor, but the problem is, normally you pick somebody to help you win a state. She would lose you, Michigan. This Michigan governor couldn't get two votes. And in fact, everybody will come out just to vote against her. She's been totally evil in this lockdown, just locking down everybody, not allowed to leave your house, not allowed to do anything. If you have a second home, a lot of people in Michigan have an upstate home or cottage. And you could leave your house, get in your car without seeing anybody, and drive up to that home. You're not allowed to do it. That's part of the lockdown. You're not allowed to, if you have a boat, if you live upstate, a lot of people live like right on Lake Michigan. They got a boat tied up right at their dock at their house. Not allowed to get on the boat or go anywhere. But could you figure out the point of this? It's just ridiculous. So, and they caught her husband, who has a boat in an upstate house, going to his upstate house and taking his boat out. So it's fine for him, but not you. It's like President Trump can't play golf, even though Governor Cuomo does it every weekend. His version of golf is driving his Corvette or, you know, taking his hikes out in the woods. But he's been doing it every weekend, no problem at all. Nobody says, gee, Governor Cuomo, we notice you have the deepest, darkest, nicest tan. Where'd you get that? You've obviously been out all the time. You obviously spent a lot of time outside. So the other thing is they're yelling at the president about tweeting. He's got to stop tweeting. This is the big thing now. He can't tweet. He shouldn't tweet. He's not supposed. This is how the swamp, the establishment, this is how they think. They'll tell him when he can talk and where he's allowed to talk. They'll let him know when he can talk. So he can't tweet. Now, I understand the reason for the Joe Scarborough stuff. There's an old conspiracy theory, and it is pretty mysterious. Joe Biden has a young staffer who's 26 years old or 28 years old, marathon runner, who is in his office and suddenly drops dead of a heart attack and drops dead, just drops so hard that she hits her head and smashes the back of her head. Do we believe this story, Joe Bartlett?
Well, I guess they thoroughly investigated there in Florida and determined no foul play.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of evidence that they didn't so thoroughly investigate. It was in northern Florida in the Panhandle, which is, you know, it's kind of deliverance down there with the sheriff playing the banjo. So he did his thorough investigation. And then suddenly the young congressman quit and left Congress. Although, now some are saying he had told people before this incident that he was going to leave Congress. And Scarborough in the past has always joked around about this. There's a clip I have on the webpage from Friday, I think, where Imus is making fun of how he slept with the intern, so he had a killer. And Scarborough says, he laughs, he goes, well, you do what you got to do. It was a subject. Oh, yeah, it's up on the webpage. Scarborough joking about killing the intern. Yeah, I mean, he made jokes about it with Imus back then. But now the president's been tweeting about it. Now, the reason the president tweeted this is for the last couple of years, Scarborough and the goofy wife, Mika, have been tweeting all kinds of ridiculous conspiracy theories about Trump. They claimed he was a Russian agent, that he was working with Putin, all these ridiculous conspiracy theories. They claimed that he was mentally ill. They kept saying he was Hitler. In other words, he was a mass murderer committing genocide. So I think it's only fair that he tweet a conspiracy theory back, don't you?
Yeah, the other thing, too, I mean, he's being accused. The president accused Joe Scarborough of being a murderer. I don't think he really did. He just said, hey, open the investigation, right?
Yeah, he basically just said, was that ever really investigated? Let's open that cold case file and check it out. So Mika Brzezinski went nuts and met with the head of the president of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, begged him to stop. There are other people calling for Twitter to remove Donald Trump from Twitter. Now, wouldn't you have to remove Scarborough? Because you could go back and look at all the bizarre conspiracy theories. Anybody that claimed Trump was a Russian asset or working with Russia or colluding with Russia, they would have to be removed from Twitter. That's a bizarre conspiracy theory that wasn't even true. You'd have to remove everybody. Now, of course, as the president points out, Twitter, Facebook are completely controlled by left-wing partisans. Facebook is, you know, I have a Facebook page besides my profile. And one time I put up a joke about Biden. I forget what the joke was, but they suspended me for a day because they claimed it was information that wasn't factually correct. Well, it was obvious to anybody reading it that it's a joke. Somebody made a video of Biden with this goofy expression on his face. It's a video where it's moving, but you can see they made like kind of a cartoon out of Biden's face. It's clearly a joke. Nobody would think this is real. So, and I put it up yesterday, Twitter immediately labeled it false information and pulled it down. So you can't even make jokes about Biden. You could do this about Trump all you want, but Twitter and Facebook are extremely biased. They've been engaged in trying to affect the election. So the president is luckily the president and can at some point do something about them. Now, you could argue it's a private company, it's their site, they can do what they want, but the case is going to be made government-wise, that it's really not. It's become a utility, and it needs some regulation, so they have to treat people equally. So that could happen pretty soon. Listen, Arizona's reopened, Texas is reopened, all these places are reopened. What about Las Vegas? They don't know what they're going to do. Some people want to propose a new Las Vegas, where there'll be glass, plastic partitions between all the seats at the blackjack table. That doesn't work, does it?
No. How do you taunt the guy next to you?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not going to work. And then the big thing is the buffets. That's, you know, most of these people love, you get a coupon.
Oh, that's right.
Where it's the most lavish buffet you've ever seen. It goes on for 6 miles, and it costs you nothing. They're not going to be able to do these anymore. I don't know how they're going to reopen Las Vegas. Now, the good news is, whenever you think nothing will go back, this will never come back, this will never come back, it always does. It always does. Just remember 9/11, everybody said, nobody will ever live downtown, ever near the World Trade Center again. 2 years later, that was the hottest neighborhood in Manhattan. Then you heard, nobody will ever...
How long before you go to a buffet, though?
I hate to say it. Maybe a year, two, or three. You know, they said nobody will live at the top of a glass skyscraper. Well, right now, that's the hottest apartments in Manhattan. And don't forget, the pandemic of 1918 and 19 was much worse than this. A year later, everybody was crowding into speakeasies. Great Gatsby was throwing his parties. So it takes a while, but everything gets back to normal. Hey, check out the webpage. Now, Joe Biden gets in trouble for another racist comment. He's got a long history of these problems. Take a look at this video. Here's a whole bunch of them from his past, all cut together. It's an ongoing problem. Also, the new iPhone 12 is coming. It was September. It looks like it might be October or November now. But take a look. Here's a video. I'll show you the new iPhone 12 and what's in it. And Memorial Day. Boy, Ronald Reagan had this powerful Memorial Day message. Take a look at it. It's really moving. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Team. This is the Mark Simone Show.
Mark Simone Show.
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. A lot of people mad at Governor Cuomo for not showing empathy. He's not good at that. Never shows any empathy. He's always great with that death list, with the death numbers, great, but doesn't show any empathy for the 40 million people whose lives got destroyed. Their job is gone. Their income is gone. They can't pay their bills, can't feed their family. Or the millions of businesses that were killed, that were wiped out, devastated, gone forever. If we ever do reopen under Cuomo, it's now estimated 35% of the businesses will be gone. And that's small businesses, you know, mom-and-pop businesses, and some not-so-small businesses. The Copacabana just closed. That's it. It's not coming back. They couldn't make it through these couple of months. Now, remember, that's a place where they're really dependent on private events, you know, parties, office parties, this wedding, this, that. So that's gone. You know, there was a new hotel in Times Square that opened last year. It was called The Addition. And that was quite the hot spot in Times Square. It had a couple of very hot restaurants, and that was the hot place to stay. Well, that's just closed, gone. They can't reopen. It just didn't make it through the crisis. So I wish the governor would show some empathy once in a while. Put up a list of that. How many people? Well, I'll tell you, it's almost 2 million people now in New York that lost their jobs, lost their income, lost their livelihood. And look at the tax revenue. 68% of our tax revenue went away. 68% of the tax revenue in New York went away. Now, going into this crisis, Governor Cuomo had the worst economy in the nation. He had the record for most people leaving his state, moving out. So that was going into it. I don't know how this state ever recovers from all of that. Anyway, let's take some calls. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
You know, I'll tell you, if I were Donald Trump, I would send the blah, blah, Blasio and Cuomo two cases of his best champagne, because they've done more to get Trump reelected than Trump has done to get Trump reelected. I mean, you listen to de Blasio, it was like listening to a guy talking about we're living in a leper colony. And then you have Cuomo stuffing these poor virus people into these nursing homes when they have basically an aircraft carrier sized medical facility sitting empty on the west side. So, oh, and by the way, you have done a fantastic job with your show. I mean, you've been appointment radio for me. You've been my one little like link to sanity versus insanity. So I want to thank you guys over at WOR. You have a great show, and keep on keeping on, brother. We're going to make it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, you know, I don't usually mention this, but we've had a huge increase in ratings since this all began. People listening more during the crisis. And I get, Joe Bartlett, you probably get it too. I get hundreds of emails a day from people saying, you got me through this. You helped me get through this. I was cracking up at one point. I was getting depressed. I was, you helped me through it. Just so you know, you did the same for us. You helped us get through this because this was, you know, your appointment was listening to us. Our appointment was coming here talking to you. So, and always remember, never social distance, only physical distance. Physical distancing, don't social distance. Call everybody you know. Listen to your favorite radio. Make sure you keep in touch with everybody. So, yeah, Governor Cuomo did so much for Donald Trump. And this nursing home decision was the single most catastrophic, deadly, dumb decision ever made in this crisis, where he decided to send coronavirus patients into all the nursing homes, where they are in no way equipped to control infection. It's not a hospital. So 5,000 dead, senior citizens dead because of that decision. Governor Cuomo, if he ever has a federal investigation, he's in real trouble. He tried this lie last week. He said, well, ask the White House. I was following their guidelines. There's no White House guidelines that said to do that. There are some CDC guidelines, and all it says is, if you're going to send patients into a nursing home, here's the protocols that you should follow. And they were extreme protocols. You'd have to have a wing of the home that can be sealed off. You'd have to keep the patients in there. Nobody that's in that wing can come out. No employees can go from that wing to another wing. It was extreme protocols that were never done in New York. So, and now look at Florida. They were brilliant down there. They handled it so much better. They never sent the coronavirus patients into the nursing homes. In fact, what they did, they found one nursing home that wasn't being used, and they sent all the patients there. So they had a nursing home just for coronavirus patients so that it wouldn't spread. And that's why Florida, very few deaths, and that's why Cuomo set the all-time record for cases, deaths, disaster. Anyway, let's go to Nolan in New Jersey. Hey, Nolan, how you doing? Nolan, are you there? Nope, no Nolan. All right, let's go to Richard in Queens. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Mark. I love your show, man. Listen, these numbers that were on the New York Times, 100,000, they couldn't wait to reach this mark. You know, we're fast approaching the 100,000 mark. Now, on a normal day, without any pandemic in the United States, there's an average of about 8,000 people die. Maybe one every 12 seconds it's averaged out to be. Now, would we ever differentiate those people who normally would have died from the people who died from coronavirus?
Good point, Richard. Thanks for calling. No, New York Times shows no empathy ever. They just put that front page, 100,000 deaths, and then they only put 1,000. Where's the other 99,000 names? What was that all about? It was just a theatrical stunt. They show no empathy ever. They didn't put a list of the 40 million lives destroyed where their livelihood was taken away, their paychecks were taken away. They didn't put a list of the 13 million businesses that got wiped out by the, and literally destroyed by the lockdown. There was no list of the 50,000 deaths from suicide, alcohol, drug abuse that were caused by the lockdown. None of that. Didn't even bother. 80,000 people died last year from the flu. They never got a list in the New York Times. Totally phony paper. Anyway, when we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us. Boy, he has been ahead of the curve predicting what's going to be next. So let's find out what's next as far as reopening and coming back. Bill O'Reilly next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, of course, number one TV host for years. Number one, biggest, best-selling nonfiction author around. His website, now one of the most viewed, most watched, most read websites on earth. It's BillO'Reilly.com. BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
Good. You read my column, Escape from New York?
Yeah. Now, I put something up like that online. I noticed all the fake news anchors were commenting, attacking me. But as you pointed out, Governor Cuomo has been a disaster for New York. Numbers, metrics, everything shows that.
Listen, you know, I'm just amazed at how New Yorkers and Jerseyites and Connecticut people, how they can't understand or don't seem to be reacting to the reality of this COVID thing here. And I wrote a column called Escape from New York off the movie. You remember the movie,
yeah.
Snake Plissken, John Carpenter movie, 1981, where New York was isolated by the federal government and used as a giant prison because it was seemed ungovernable. Well, after the pandemic is over, what are you going to have in New York City? You're going to have a disaster. Because people are going to move out. Last year, 181,000 people left New York State, the highest number of any state in the union. Okay? That's going to double or triple in the next 2 years after the pandemic is over. Because all of our institutions are affected by this. So restaurants won't reopen. Who's going to go down in the subway? Are you going to take the subway, Simone? Are you going to go down there?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, you're not going to go down there because it's squalid, fetid, overrun by people who have diseases, overrun by them. There's no law enforcement on the subway system. So that whole thing is going to collapse. Then they're going to charge you money to drive into Manhattan, on top of all the taxes that they have now, and you're going to have to pay $30 an hour to park, it's going to be a catastrophe. While the rest of the nation will recover economically, New York City and the New York lower state will not. And that is going to cause an amazing amount of people to leave here.
Hmm. Well, listen, President Trump always said, thank God we had such a big booming economy going into this. That way, when we fell, we didn't fall that far. But you're right. New York State had the worst economy, billions in debt, everything going into this. So, I mean, what can the governor do, though? He can't raise taxes anymore. I mean, everybody would just leave. What could he do?
Well, they're going to try. They're going to try to raise taxes more. You're going to see the millionaires tax, the wealth tax, the death tax. You know, you're going to see it. There's a $6 billion deficit a year that Albany puts out. They can't pay it. No matter how much they raise taxes, they can't pay it. So Cuomo and de Blasio are hoping the federal government is going to give them money under the banner of COVID recovery. I'm not so sure Donald Trump is going to okay that, even though he doesn't have the final word. That comes from Congress. But certainly Republicans around the country are not eager to bail out Bill de Blasio, who gave his wife $1 billion. For what? Do you understand where that $1 billion went? For some kind of educational program or some touchy-feely thing? I don't understand it, and I've been trying to figure it out for 3 years. Where did that $1 billion go? Do you know?
Oh, yeah, it was a great idea. Yoga for the homeless. It sounded perfect.
But you're being facetious, but you're not. Yeah. That was under the banner of it. But where did the actual money go? Where was this, who got it? Who did she spend it on? There's no accountability for $1 billion. So people in Mississippi are going to go, yeah, you take a little bit of my tax money and give it to Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo. I hate to be cynical here. I was born in Levittown, as you know. I was raised in Levittown, Long Island, born in Harlem, up in Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. And I love New York in the sense of the tradition, a cultural bastion and all that. But I'm watching a disintegration of my state, and I'm not overstating that. And I'm also watching the press sit there in front of Governor Cuomo every single day, and not one of them asks any questions about this. Not one.
Yeah.
And I'm going, we don't have a functioning press corps in this state anymore. It's gone. Because you got to think ahead. And the COVID thing is going to end. It's going to end probably by midsummer. The kids will be back to school. But then what? And you're looking at it going, this is totally out of control. New York City is totally collapsing. And where's the reportage on it?
Yeah, the press has been awful on this. Just awful. The nursing home scandal, all of that stuff. And when is everything going to reopen? Will Long Island be reopened?
Yeah, Long Island will start to go open this week, and then through June. By July 4th, everything will be open. Look, the COVID thing, if you really study it, and I have, the main transmission of the disease occurs indoors in crowded spaces. So the reason New York got killed was because the subway and bus systems spread this thing from late February until early April. So there was a six-week period where many New Yorkers had no blanket clue what was happening, carried the disease onto the mass transit, and it spread like crazy everywhere. That's what happened in New York. It doesn't spread easily on the beach, in the water, in the pool, walking your dog, all of this stuff. It spreads indoors in crowded places. So if you have a restaurant, you're going to have to space it out. In church, you're going to have to, you know, every other pew, space it out. But it, by July 4th, everything will be open in this state because Cuomo can't keep it closed. He cannot do it. And it's 80% of the fatalities are over 65 years of age. Younger people seem to be able to fight this thing off. And you're going to see more and more of that come out.
So these restaurants have to put the table 6 feet apart. Everybody's got to be apart. Why do they allow these airlines to cram 200 people into a tiny little cabin with no air?
Because it's an essential service. So in an essential service, and by the way, the FAA could easily, and why they don't, I don't know, say to the airlines, got to be 50% capacity.
Yeah.
That's what it's got to be. And I think they will. I think they will. But right now, everybody on an airliner is wearing a mask, and they're sitting there. They are in a closed space, but the CDC says if you have the mask on and all of that, the transmission is faint. However, I wouldn't feel comfortable flying on a packed airline, I'll tell you that.
No. Make sure you go to BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the book, the greatest book ever written on Donald Trump, Killing Crazy Horse. The new book is coming out. You can get the column. You can watch the TV show tonight, BillO'Reilly.com. What do you got tonight on TV?
Well, I'm analyzing how President Trump is really getting himself into deep trouble by being unfocused in the COVID fight. And I'll give you two examples. Did he have to take the hydro drug? Did he?
Well,
no. No. But... What was the upside for that? What upside did he gain from that?
Some doctors are saying to me, if he took that, it means he was much closer to somebody that had it than is being reported.
All right, then let's hear it. Let's hear it. If that were a preventive measure, let's hear it. Because right now, that did him no good at all. Second question that I'll analyze on BillO'Reilly.com tonight. Why attack Morning Joe? What good does that do? In the middle of a pandemic, why does anybody in this world outside of Mika care about Morning Joe? Anyone?
Well,
Bueller? Anyone?
Well, because they are probably the two most annoying people on television.
I understand. I concur. Word of the day. But in the middle of a pandemic, to spend time on this, first of all, you raise his ratings. You empower him. Why do that? Cuomo's got a 70% approval rating in New York State, and as you pointed out, he is partially responsible for thousands of deaths in the nursing homes. And his rating is 70% because he looks like he's focused. Trump's rating on the virus is 45% because he's unfocused. And that is my analysis tonight.
All right. Well, you can watch the show, and it's become one of the biggest, hottest websites in America. It's BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the TV show, get the books, get the column, BillO'Reilly.com. If you haven't got the new book, Killing Crazy Horse, and if you're looking for stuff to read during this pandemic, get any of the Killing series, but go to BillO'Reilly.com, and we'll be watching tonight. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
All right, Mark, stay off those subways, man.
All right, I will. Thanks a lot. Check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there today. So Joe Biden, this horrible blunder, this stupid racial comment, but he's got a long history of these comments. And ever it's about race, he gets himself into trouble. Watch this video. Here's a whole montage of them through the years. Hey, also, the iPhone 12 is coming. It's supposed to be September. It looks like October now. But if you want to see what the new iPhone 12 is going to look like, what it'll have, take a look at this video. Oh, also, Memorial Day, Ronald Reagan had this powerful Memorial Day message. Pretty moving. Take a look at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.